This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Gentlemen, take your marks, set.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you've never heard that tune before, that is something that I used when I became the PR person for the B3s. And it is a T-Connection tune called Kush. So please remember it. You'll hear it every evening at Guardian Radio. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, all around the world. We are headed to the 500th episode on Track World with Alpheus Finlayson, 96.9 FM. Well, first, I need to speak about Stephen Gardner, who will contest the 400 meters in Zurich between the 7th and the 8th of next month. So the contest is in Zurich, and he ran third in Lausanne, and I'd say he finished third, and just a little off of his 20.0 or something. And we can get Track World from various platforms. My co-host is Philippa Arnett, and we are waiting for an esteemed guest to come in. And Philippa, how was your day?
I had a wonderful day, Alpheus. Still at work and, you know, dealing with some family matters, you know, but, you know, family comes first. So happy to be here, of course. And just to add to, I think Stephen Gardner, I think Stephen just posted something that he's actually ending his season. Okay. But we'll get into that. Yeah, he posted something stating that he was going to end the season.
So he's not running Zurich?
I don't think he's contesting in Zurich. Okay. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't need the money.
Oh, well, hey, let's not say that. But definitely he's had a great season. I mean, you know, and a great way to end it on top. So I think he and Shawnee have both. Well, we know Shawnee had already cut her season short, but he has also, I think, officially yesterday or day before, he posted a very beautiful post to the Bahamian people, thanking them for their support this season.
Well, how do you get all those posts?
Alpheus, you
have a phone.
You live on Facebook. You got to become friends with them. We got to make that happen.
You got to make it happen.
Yes, sir. We will make that happen.
I can't make it happen. I sell insurance.
Right, right.
That's what I do.
Right. But it was also, I think, it seems like Sheldon ran an ad. He wrote a report in the Guardian, which is today's paper as mm-hmm. well, stating it. He actually copied the Facebook post, and it's here. So,
well, let me tell you something. We have started already. Charlene Thompson out of New Jersey, she is watching. My good cousin, Vanessa Colby, she is watching also. And they're going to come. They're going to come. They're going to come. Well, I will say that Trackwheel is brought to you by Sun Oil, Arawak Homes, Sunshine Insurance, bestseller book from Vancouver to Athens, 50 years of Bahamian International Track and Field Competition, and by Vaughn Kalmer. He is a broker with insurance. And finally, Kalina Insurance. Kalina Insurance, where I have been a financial services representative for more than 40 years. My daughter, Alexis Hannah, is my business partner. And the first A is Alpheus. And the second A is Alexis. And Alexis and I together are the A team. The A team at Kalina. And we are going to just talk a little bit more. As I said, I don't get the newspaper. Mm-hmm. You physically have to go to the store, and they don't let me go in the food store, but that's a topic for another.
It's because they love you and protect you right now. They're protecting.
Topic for another discussion.
Of course.
Yes. So when you talk about Alpheus, the A-team, I'm now going to give you the numbers. And the number of mine is 432-9961. And my daughter, 467-0372. So those are the numbers. So any thoughts of you?
Well, no, just again, happy to be here. If we've been following sports, we know that the junior team had returned from Nairobi.
South Africa.
Correct, Kenya. And, you know, they had some hiccups on the way back home, particularly with the shutdown in the U.S. and flights directly going through the U.S. So they had to reroute and fly through London. But they all reached home safely. I think, you know, for the most part, congratulations to the team and the coaches there. I think we have a very good and upcoming junior program here in, you know, in the Bahamas. So for me, I think that's it. I think the Bahamas, when we talk about Track World, has had an excellent, a really phenomenal season this season, in spite of COVID, Alpheus. And, you know, I think we were grateful to have a number of meets that allowed our athletes to stay sharp, to stay competitive, and also keeping them healthy. And that was a priority. And that paid a lot. You know, we have to give a lot of kudos to the coaches and the parents for the most part, because it was a no stadium support type of, you know, events that went on. And so it was really dependent on the coaches, their management, the executive of the B3As, and all of the stakeholders who particularly helped to keep, you know, the athletes healthy this season.
Well, Lucretia Napa from Washington, she is watching.
Hello.
So there's something that I want to say. Would you believe it? The Olympics is so important. But what happened a couple of weeks afterwards? The U.S.
Oh, yeah. You mean Hayward Field?
No, moving out. I'm talking about Biden moving out.
Out of Afghanistan, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
And guess what? Guess what?
Yeah,
it is so interesting.
That's a sad thing.
No, it's so interesting that if you look at the Olympics and the high jumpers, what do they call them? No, they're not cutter. The name isn't Qatar. The name isn't Qatar.
What is it?
Where did they run? You remember at the World Championships?
The high jumpers?
Yeah, but where did they run? You have another person doing the hurdles and everything. Where did they run? Mike could answer.
Just something today, huh?
Well, Mike, I am saying that you all been all over the place. And what is so interesting, Mike, is that the U.S. pulled out. And that is so significant. It is so significant. The world has changed, in my opinion.
First of all, let the audience know I'm not late. You told me to come at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Secondly, the point of USA pulling. First of all, good evening, Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Pulled out, where are you talking about? Under 20?
No. I'm talking about United Biden.
Pulling out of Afghanistan.
We're talking sports.
I have to talk that. Cause
no, that's fine. Don't forget, I just walked in, so I didn't know. Why did you just say pull out? So
but if you look on MSNBC, which I always were, or the other one, you can't miss Biden, other than the challenge with the storm in New Orleans.
Louisiana, yep.
Yeah, Louisiana, which was a different thing.
Well, I don't delve into it to that level, but I have to assume that the powers that be have information that the layman doesn't have, and they use their best intelligence to make decision in the best interest, first and foremost, of their citizens as primary, and then the world in general. So, you know, you have to kind of go along with the flow. And
that is so true.
That's what I've come to understand in this twilight years of my life.
Agreed. and in doing so, you know, as a part of their job, unfortunately, and it's so unfortunate that, you know, lives are lost while they are trying to also draw them out of Kabul. And, you know, it's so unfortunate.
My friend says that, Napa says that she can't see you, but she could hear you well. Great speaker. So we were talking about the high jump and the high jump at the World Championships. Where did we have that?
You're talking about
2019.
Talking about
2019.
Well, you think everybody got memory like you?
I know, right?
No. But the point is,
where would we in 19? Oh, forgive me.
The World Championships.
I'm just saying, forgive the audience and me. But you know, for the past several weeks, I have been living in a suitcase, and sometimes I have to wake up and ask myself what day or where I am, what time it is. You know, I just came back from Nairobi, followed by Tokyo. So,
when is the last time?
That's exactly my point. I know.
Before you went to Tokyo, and when you came back, I didn't see. I didn't have the opportunity to go to anything. I had to be in my house with my bride.
Well, that's exactly my point.
It was held in Qatar. It was held in Qatar.
I was
Qatar.
There. Yes.
That's right.
They call it Qatar.
Okay. I was not following that. So you were talking about the high jumper and trying to draw the comparison.
I was there. I mean, as a matter of fact, you know, we had just finished the elections for NACAC, and then we went on to Qatar.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually there. But you know, I thought we were gonna let's kind of get into the present because there's so many exciting things that has been happening.
I know. Simone Cargill is watching. I think that she is Alexis's friend. So, let's talk a bit more, not about the Olympics, but I'm talking about the under 20.
Okay. I just got back from Nairobi, and the NACAC under 20 was a very, very good meet. I can tell you that NACAC the future, let's put it this way, the future of track and field is in good hands.
Awesome.
When you look at the performances of the young people, the next generation of athletes that I call them, right? And I speak specifically for NACAC in particular. We had the men, the NACAC men, we had one gold medal, we had six silver medals.
NACAC.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I speak for NACAC.
Okay.
Okay. NACAC.
From the all the way
well, yeah,
up from to Canada. Canada.
Yeah, NACAC, North America, Central America, and the Caribbean.
Yes.
We had like I said, we had the men had one gold medal, they had six silver medals, there were three bronze medals, and there were nine finalists. There were 100 countries that participated and a little over 1,000 athletes. The women, and you know, this obviously is the year of the women, to the extent of the performances.
Say that again now. You said one
gold medal, six silver, three bronze.
Yeah, yeah. One gold medal.
How many countries you
There were 100 countries that
participated. The United States got more than that, didn't
they? The United States didn't attend.
Let
me go through this.
Pardon me.
Right, remember some countries pulled out because of COVID.
We can talk about that. NACAC athletes under 20 in Nairobi, Kenya.
Yes.
The NACAC men, first of all, there were about 100 countries that participated. There were about 1,000 athletes plus, okay, give or take. NACAC, there are 31 member federations of NACAC, as you very well know. There are 36, but the other member federations are associate members. Not only that, because they have affiliation to their mother country, mm-hmm. they would not have participated in NACAC as Guadeloupe or Martinique, but instead they would participate as France and so on, right? Okay. So there were four NACAC countries that medaled out of the 31, okay? And the men's side, there was one gold medal. They didn't have the performance that they would normally have. Mm-hmm. There was one gold medal. There were six silver medals. There were three bronze medals, and we had nine finalists, right? On the ladies' side, we had four gold medals. We had one silver medal. We had three bronze medals, and we had eight finalists, okay? In addition to that, and that's why I tell you the future of the sport is very, very bright. In addition to that, there was one world record set under 20, which is by the Jamaican 4x1 team. And then there were four national records were set by our NACAC athletes, including Rima Atabar, our young
javelin
thrower. So she set a national record, and she did extremely well for herself. That's the future of FIU. The sport.
By the way, Harry Bunch is watching, you know. Harry is Boswick's nephew.
Okay.
Yes.
The NACAC athletes overall in Nairobi amassed a total of 18 medals, of those 7 silvers and 6 bronze. So when we speak about NACAC, we're speaking about our area, North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. And so the athletes are making a good account of themselves. As a matter of fact, I took special note, there's a young Mexican, I think he finished second in the 400, mm-hmm. around like 44 something, you know, so.
Well,
so,
that's good.
Yeah, so the future is great for track and field because obviously we have the next generation of athletes, which is the foundation of the sport and which is where we have to focus our efforts to ensure that the foundation is strong so that the continuity.
So Mike, I'm going to just run right on to what you're talking about and ask you, so what is NACAC probably having planned? We thought COVID would have been sort of, you know, calming down a little bit at this point. But we know we're moving right now into 2022. So what does NACAC have planned? Great for the sport, for our country, I remember. Any little secrets might be out there for right here to be planned right here in our local Bahamas for we have to do something great here.
The Federation,
of course.
There are no secrets to the extent that we as NACAC, we operate in transparency and accountability,
mm-hmm.
And it is open. And specifically to your question, when we speak about what we plan for here in our area, you know, we are good at hosting.
Yes.
Right?
One of the best.
I can only encourage the member federation, which is the B3As, and the administration, which is the central government, obviously,
mm-hmm.
to support the efforts of the federation in wanting to host events.
Okay.
As an example, right? right now, you know, we have Carifta games that we will be looking at whether or not we maintain our position. Because of COVID, as you very well know, we had to make some adjustments where Carifta was postponed or canceled, literally, right?
Yeah.
And so it's coming up. Whenever the next event is, it'll be the 49th edition. Hopefully that'll be next year.
Okay.
And then in 2023, will be the 50th edition of Carifta. Now, I have suggested in several quarters, as I sit here, in several quarters, that I think it would be very, very appropriate with the Bahamas having the 50th anniversary of its independence to also have it coincide with the 50th anniversary of the Carifta Games,
that
the strength and the performances that the Bahamas has done in Carifta Games, and the passion that the Bahamian people have for the Carifta Games. I think it will be a natural fit for it to be a part of the 50th anniversary celebration. But I can only make the recommendation.
Of course.
And I've done it on several occasions. And at the end of the day, the Bahamas, through the Federation, has to have the interest to want to make it happen and to make the representation for something like that. That's the answer to your question. Next year, we also have the NACAC Open Championships. And so that is also available.
And somebody has to bid for that.
Right.
You don't give it to them.
Right. Unfortunately, Carifta, COVID caused us some challenges because we were really looking forward to inaugurating the New Life Invitational, as you would be aware of. Right?
Correct.
Unfortunately, the circumstances did not permit us to get the approval to host it here. And so we had no other choice without prejudice of having to move it to Miramar, Florida, because we were so far gone with our planning. And I have to tell you that the city of Miramar welcomed us with open arms,
yes,
right? And they've expressed a serious interest in wanting to partner with NACAC.
And make that an annual event. Awesome.
And as you would very well know, Philippa, because I was fortunate to have you as a part of our team.
And I was so grateful.
And listen to me, right? It exceeded our expectations in terms of the participation. And when you look at what we had to do in the last minute, managing an event from afar, and then only going in 2 or 3 days before the event, hoping that everything was in order, I have to give the city of Miramar, including the mayor and the city manager, who we had the opportunity to sit and talk with, I have to give them the credit.
A grand applause.
They granted us the approval. We had Pan Am Sports that televised the event, and Philippa was an international star.
Yes.
So well, you know what? Great. So,
yes, it is great, Mrs. Sands. And you know what? What is great for me, even with that, was when I watched the Olympics and saw the caliber of athletes that attended the New Life Invitational. I think, you know, for our listeners and for persons who even, afforded themselves to attend that meet, the caliber, Elaine, that was when she peaked. That was her first peak heading into the Olympics, right there. Dalia Muhammad, the world record, who is the world record holder. Travon was there. The caliber of athletes that attended that New Life Invitational, you're going to have problems trying to get athletes coming into that next year.
Opportunities
for sure.
It
was
because
excellent.
We had persons calling at the last minute, and we had to literally turn them away. Mm-hmm. Literally turned them away. I mean, all the events were basically filled, right? We had top-notch performances. We had guys running 144 in the half mile, man, you know. And we had the discus throws. Every event was fully subscribed. And we also added a relay to try to assist the countries to qualify. So, you know, I think the future is great, and I'm excited to be at the helm at this time to move track and field forward in our area.
Mike, I want to go to something else. You sent me something last week, and I was shocked and amazed. It was Mike and Mike. So tell us a little bit about it. Mike Sands and Mike from, I can't remember exactly where he's from. You all had the conversation as to where you are and everything else.
I'm trying to figure out. The only Mike and Mike I know is my Mike Shine.
No. You sent something to us saying that you want us to look at...
To watch this athlete.
Not the athlete. The person who is talking about NACAC and talking about the Caribbean.
No.
That
yes.
was real.
You're talking
I shouldn't say it's powerful, but it was unbelievable.
What it is, you are Michael Bascom.
Michael Bascom.
Michael Bascom is he has a syndicated radio show
that emanates. We know him well.
Emanates out of New York and New Jersey.
Yes, yes.
And he invited me to be a guest on his show. Mm-hmm. And let me say for the record, right? I do what I do with a passion, and I enjoy what I do, right? But it's not about promoting me. If I'm invited to be a guest on one show, one of the first things I would always ask is there someone else you can invite? Because I don't want people to get the impression that I'm promoting you, right? But I also appreciate...
But that's your business.
But that's okay, right?
Yes.
But you know,
you're the president of NACA.
You know how we go as a people. That's all I'm saying.
Right? Yeah.
But I also appreciate the opportunity because what we are trying to do is to rebrand our brand NACAC for people to recognize and understand the significant role that NACAC plays on Disney sports. We are the most prolific sporting area association when it comes to track and field. We have the product, we have the athletes, right?
Phenomenal athletes.
And we're trying to tell our story. What I mean by that is Jamaica tells this story about Elaine and those. The Bahamas tells this story about Stevie and what have you not, and Shanae. Grenada tells a story about Kirani. USA will tell their story. So everybody tells their story. So somebody has to put it together and tell NACAC story. And so we now have to put them all together and let them realize that these are NACAC athletes. Mm-hmm. And NACAC athletes, we have to sensitize the world, understand that we as NACAC are strong, and we are strong as a small, you know the word, small country, but it's now
great
small
athletes.
Countries,
great athletes.
Mm-hmm. Because,
and that's what it is. I didn't bring it up. The fella at Stuttgart brought it up.
And so Michael Bascom, like I said, he has a weekly show, and he invited
me. And he's out of New York.
Yeah, well, he's from Grenada originally. Yes. Mm-hmm. He invited me to be a part of his show, and I was able to share NACAC's his performance, and that's really what it's all about.
Anything that we should know, that should be public?
Well, I think, I mean, like I said, if I go on a show, everything is public.
Yeah.
But the thing is, right, one of the things we talked about and we talked during our campaign is that we are developing, and the NACAC New Life Invitational was the beginning of it, and we had this plan, right? But we will develop an area circuit. As a matter of fact, I have a meeting tomorrow morning with my competitions people.
We will have a
NACAC area circuit where, as you know, we paid ours was prize money, and it's also a point system, because our athletes, right, they would prefer to be on this side of the globe for as long as possible. Number one, good competition. Number two, earn a decent salary and also get points. And so we have now moved to that position where this is exactly what will happen. And then when our season is through, which we hope to culminate with the New Life Invitational, except that now Canada wants to be a part of it. And so because of their weather, push some things back to include Canada's two events that they want to have so that they would be a part of our circuit.
Okay.
So if the biggest thing that's coming out of this is that the continental tour or our area tour will take place. And that's a given. We started with NACAC New Life Invitational, and we're hoping that other member federations will come on board. Those that are already in existence, we will just tie them in to the program so there's a smooth transition, just like how the athletes in Europe now, and they go here, they go there. Right,
and we're coming over here now because when you look at the circuit meet that was just held in Eugene, Oregon,
exactly
coming over now into North America,
exactly.
So it is definitely we're close.
Yep.
So, and it's actually even greater that you are the NACAC president,
right.
So we can, and it's here in the Bahamas. You're here, situated here because that meet. Though it was the first circuit meet, right? I'm correct. You could correct me if I'm wrong. That was the first circuit meet in North America. For all of the athletes, when you look at their comments on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere that they were talking about that meet, they said that's one of the best circuit meets that they have attended as athletes. So it means I love being home. I love being in my region.
Yeah, yeah.
And the competition was hot. We know Sha'Carri took it all over.
let me just add something to it, right? There's two situations that made the meet very attractive. And again, I had the good fortune of having Philippa around, right? We paid them immediately after the event.
Yes.
So
yes.
When the meet was over, we met them, we sat down, and they came in one by one, and everybody was so excited. I mean, they were so happy because they got paid. And incidentally, the money comes from the NACAC competitions budget, which we have to allocate and we have to distribute. So they came in. The transportation was on point. We picked them up from the airport. We gave them the accommodations. We provided the meals,
the hotel,
transportation, and everything was on point. And as I said, the support from the city of Miramar. I would have loved to have it here.
Right? Yes.
Didn't permit it. Yes. Hopefully we can look down the road and see how we can do it. But yeah, we're on a fast track.
Well, could we just wait for a while? And anybody who wants to speak, please call. And the numbers are 325-4316,
425-4259.
Although I have my glasses, it's still...
And 323...
Say it again.
623-6232. Right.
And the text line powered by BTC is 422-4796.
There you go.
Please call in. You have all kind of wisdom in here between this young lady and Mike Sands. Mike Sands. Oh, man, that is something else. And here's Mike, and here's Philippa. So please call in.
Definitely. And definitely to see that, you know, you were able to attend the Olympics in Tokyo, and then you also got a chance to attend Nairobi, Kenya. And so tell us about the COVID experience, being stuck in the bubble.
No challenge.
I think, yeah.
We had no challenges.
I don't understand what you mean, no challenge. Because
the
COVID experience
all
is a challenge.
Yes,
it
yes,
a challenge,
yes.
Right? It's you have to come to accept that life has changed from what it used to be. You have to no longer try to even get frustrated or upset about it and just accept it. Because at the end of the day, if you're frustrated yourself, that's the only person you can frustrate. Because the system is what it is. I mean, for example, in Tokyo, okay, we had to do a saliva test every morning. Every single morning. And the system was such that if you didn't do it by a certain time, you got to notice.
Alonso assured that. You got
to
notice.
And so we had to turn in our saliva test by 10 o'clock every morning, and you had to do it before you eat breakfast.
tell us about from the executive level, where when you attend such privilege meets that, you know, most times there are meetings of some sort where most of the federation heads and where there's a no-contact social distancing. How was that dealt with? Was that a virtual process or... How did that, or was it just decreased?
Fortunately for us in our area, along with President Koh, we actually had, first of all, you know, you might have seen in the stadium guys walking around with a sign. He was the COVID police. Because if you were sitting too close, he would just put the sign up to suggest to you that you're too close, right? And bearing in mind that all of us were in a bubble, which meant that everybody pretty much was COVID free, because every morning you were taking your test.
Correct.
And so you got a message that you were okay at the end of the day. So we were able to have several face-to-face meetings, including one with Pan Am Sports, because the president of Pan Am Sports, Nevin, exactly, he is very excited about what we're doing at NACAC, and he was in Miramar. I don't know if you had a chance to meet him, but he was in Miramar, and you know, Pan Am Sports is putting their support behind what we're doing.
Awesome.
So the restrictions were, you couldn't move out of the hotel, let's put it that way. And so it was kind of boring. Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock in the evening, the restaurant was closed. We were sitting in the restaurant. You could only go from your hotel
to your room.
To your room. Mm-hmm. From your hotel to the stadium and back. You couldn't even catch a public taxi. If I wanted to go, which I did to visit, I never got to the Bohemian Village, but I did go to the hotel where the Bohemian BOC was staying, and so I was able to meet with them because also the general secretary and those were there. So we had a couple of meetings at their property, but you can only take designated taxis. You couldn't walk out there and say, I want a cab. They had to call a special cab for you to take you there. And that cab instructions, you know, the Japanese are very, very strict people. Mm-hmm. Right? So the cab had to take you there and bring you back.
I had the opportunity to talk with Laura Pratt-Charlton, who was the manager of the junior team traveling to Kenya. And she also mentioned that, you know, normally when the chaperones and the managers go, they always try to ensure that despite what the village gives to your kids, because not everybody wants the same food. So they always try to go and purchase, you know, stuff from a hotel, have Gatorade, have more than sufficient goods for the athletes, for their own health. And she said she found it so difficult that they could not do that this time because, again, like you shared, if you left the bubble, you could not come back in. there was no way back in at all. So you had to make do with what the village provided, and that was it.
No, not leaving the bubble. I'll give you an example, right? They assigned a car to myself and my general secretary, so we had a little flexibility to move certain places that we wanted. So I decided I was going to go to the hotel, like, and I went to Laura's hotel and to the Bohemian Hotel, but they wouldn't let me in. So they had to come outside to collect from me what I had for Tin Bahamas.
Yes.
So I couldn't even get out of my car to go visit Tin Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Went to Jamaican because we had something, the general secretary, which is Keith Joseph, they allowed us to go there, and then we wanted to have the president, God Gale, of Jamaica, to come back with us so we can just go to the stadium together.
They would not allow it.
He was not allowed to leave the hotel. Mm-hmm. The security said, you can't leave the hotel. Mm-hmm. So the protocols was very, very much enforced. Right. And I think they understood the risk that they were faced with. And so they didn't want it to have this hot spots or create a super spreader.
Yeah.
And I have to give credit to the organizers that it was very, very well under control.
And you had a successful event.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, that's exactly what you wanted. And I think we achieved that. The world showed COVID this year that with all things possible with God.
Yeah, we just have to become more disciplined and be accepting for the challenges that we face going forward.
Correct.
And adjust ourselves to it.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Track World, and you have the opportunity to talk with Philippa and Mike. The numbers to call are 323-325-4-325-1316. And the last number is
325-4259.
And don't worry about texting, please. Just call and speak to them. You have the opportunity. As I said, I have not seen Mike for over...
You miss me.
For a long time. For a long
time. That's what it's
up. You're my boy. I have to miss you.
But, Sir Hawk, while we're waiting, let me just share this too, because obviously... Yeah, go ahead. We'll take the call.
Good evening, caller. How are you? Nobody on the line?
We lost that call.
Okay, we lost that call. Go ahead.
I just want to share with you, when we're talking about stats and the Olympic Games in particular, and NACAC's performance, because what I've done is we have a statistician, and I've always asked him to make sure that in the scheme of things, let us focus on our athletes. So when we do the results and stuff, let the results, so that people have an appreciation, understanding of what is transpiring. And so in that vein, at the Olympic Games, The NACAC athletes, the men, had 5 gold medals. This is total NACAC now. 5 gold medals, 8 silver medals, 8 bronze medals, and 47 finalists.
Wow.
Okay? The women had 10 gold medals, 8 silver medals, 8 bronze medals, and 27 finalists. Okay? This is NACAC performances. In that, there was one world record, and incidentally, I predicted that before it happened, which was Cindy McLaughlin's 400 hurdles,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And there were 20 national records that were set by NACAC athletes, right? And that doesn't include PBs and what have you not. So when I tell you that I'm excited about the future of our sport in our area, this is what I speak of, right? We had 8 countries, NACAC, 31 members, 31 member, because like I said earlier, the others represent France and what have you not, so they're not counted in these statistics, right? So we count the 31 members that are full-fledged members, right? 8 NACAC member federations are 31 medal, right? And it pleases us to know that out of the 8, the Bahamas was 4th in the medal count out of the 8, which included United States, Jamaica, Canada, and then the Bahamas in terms of medal performances. So again, when you look at what we're doing in the sport, right? We as the Bahamas and we as NACAC, there's a lot to look forward to. And we talk about the future being bright. This is what I speak about.
Mike, in the Bahamian words, the Bahamas won the Olympics. Yes. You must not have heard that.
Yes.
And again, you know, I still am not feeling it.
Yeah.
That the Bahamian people actually really appreciate the significance of the performance of our athletes, Stevie, Speedy Stevie, and Shanae in particular, to win gold medals. A little country. As a matter of fact, when I was in Nairobi, I was telling the fellow from Nairobi, Isaac Bahamas, and tried to explain to him. And I wouldn't tell you the exact question that he asked me when I told him my population was only 400,000.
Yes.
I couldn't say what his reaction was. He wanted to know why we only have 400,000 people.
Yes,
but I said to him, and he said to me, he said, man, my backyard bigger than Nassau. You know, so the point I'm making is the world, right, is impressed with us. I'm not saying, because we as Bahamians don't really worship heroes, you know, to the true extent, I don't know if we really have an appreciation for the significance of our performance on the world stage.
Yeah, it was really phenomenal.
Well, let me say this. Many years ago, it was at some convention, and at the convention, the people are coming from Exuma and the rest of the places. They say, man, they know about sports. Why should they listen to us? So what I'm saying is, after a while, maybe it slows down. I don't know, but I'm still rigged.
Maybe we have a different view, right? But I always remember, because it's become such a norm, the Bahamian people figure out, but if you go to the Olympics and you don't come back with a medal, you fail.
You got
a
problem.
That's the view. But Tommy Robinson, God rest his soul, always tells a story, right? He goes to Cardiff, Wales, right? And he wins the 200 whatever? He comes back with his medal, right? With his medals around his neck, walking on Bay Street, being very, very proud of his medal, right? And everybody congratulating him and talking to him and giving him praise, right? And he felt good.
Right.
And then he goes back 2 years or 4 years later and wins a silver medal again. And he said, my guy walking down Bay Street, I'm proud of my medal. I said, the fella said, silver again.
Silver again? My people.
So I don't think we really appreciate the significance of our performances. And somehow we need to, that's why I said it's important for us to tell the story.
Yes.
What we're doing. As a small country and being on the world stage every time put forward, because there's
how big it is
because
for
there's
us.
A level of expectation. Look at the population of the other countries: India, Japan, China,
billions.
You know, and then here's Little Bahamas. You know, a dot on the map.
Yep,
and we're making our presence felt.
And based on what we're seeing, even at the junior level, we seem to have a succession plan in place.
Yes,
and you know, even with our athletes staying sharp in the D1 schools and in the NCAA period, where Bahamian students are standing out and pretty much qualifying for every NCAA competition that there is.
Yeah.
So we are definitely not afraid. We're definitely out there, and we're definitely, you know, going to show that we stand and we earned our spots where we are. But I have one question for you. As we transcend now into 2023, World Championships, because you know now, tell me what, 2022, that's right, exactly, 2022, you know, because of the skip year, how do you see us as a country doing, and NACAC for NACAC, based on what we saw this year at the Olympics, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, I had a very, very good conversation with several of the executives of the BOC, because like I said to them, you know, we're in this together. I mean, we got to put our heads together and make some things happen and work collectively as a team. And it's nothing negative I'm saying to them. I'm just saying we have to, nice, good, cordial conversation, because time is shorter than you realize, right? Because next year is going to be a very, very crowded season, very crowded schedule, because of all the events, World Indoors, World Championships, and all the events that are going to be taking, including the Commonwealth Games, okay? And so all the events, not Commonwealth Games,
Commonwealth Games. It's always the year after.
Yeah, so all the events that are going to be taking place, and so we have to strategize now so that it doesn't become haphazard, and Paris 2024 is not that far away.
Nope.
Not at all.
Nope. Okay?
So, and I think we understand what we need to do. And so, you know, there's a big elephant in the room, obviously, and that is September 16th. You know, at the end of September 16th, regardless of which way the wind blows, we all have to come together for the betterment of the country and our athletes and the development of sports, and come together with a serious strategic and national sports plan.
Alfie, I have a question. With I mean, I'm privileged to all of our listeners with two great presidents of our federation to be 3A's.
Former
presidents.
20 years ago, Mike.
Past presidents. But, you know, I know, like you just brought up the election, we know this is not an election talk, but how proud are you to see the extent of some of our track and our federation executives' involvement in getting into politics?
Well, let me say.
And we know we have history there with the BJ Nottages exactly.
We go back beyond BJ.
Jeffrey Cooper is watching also.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Jeff, how you doing, Jeff? There's only one Jeff Cooper I know. Grew up around our house in the valley.
First of all, I am extremely proud of what our sports is producing. You know, and so to your point, Philippa. First of all, go back to A.F. Adley. I mean, the founder and the president. Right. So sports was always a part of our landscape. Okay.
And his son Paul.
Yeah, but we go on with that. And so what I'm saying is, when you look from inception to now, okay, not just track and field, but it only augurs well for the fact that sports creates good citizens.
Yep.
Okay, develop character. Discipline. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, right, I just hope that all of those that are seeking office, right, are able to carry, okay, the discipline, the desire, the determination, the dedication that they have in the sport to the office that they seek and make a difference for all of us.
And even those who are still in.
Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have much time. I need to talk about the birthdays. I have a cousin, William Finlayson in Wisconsin. He is 97. And then, let's talk about Lambert Longley's birthday, the day before, after mine. Deanne Stubbs, Brian Humblestone, I guess you know Humblestone, was I shouldn't say Fox Hill, but he was one of those people who dealt with people with challenges.
Okay.
Claudine Thompson, her birthday is on the 1st of September. And we talk about Clement Maynard. He has the same birthday as me, a little younger than me, on the 24th.
Okay.
Adrian Farrington, Beryl Allen. Beryl Allen is actually the thrower. I'm talking about Laverne.
Laverne.
Yeah, Laverne's sister.
Okay.
They are all in Fox Hill. And then Hillary DeVoe. They call him Killer. His birthday. And then talking about people who have passed. Yeah. Mel Latney. You know that name, eh, Mike?
Didn't know he passed.
No, he didn't pass. Okay. I'm talking about he's watching the show.
Oh, yeah, don't you say people?
No. I talked about the people. I had to go there before I missed that. So let's talk about the people who passed. Rosalind Davis at 104. Her son passed at 80. That's Ronnie Butler. And another son. Sammy Bain passed, and then in our church, St. George's, George Turnquest, they passed, and then Peter Galanis.
And then Laura Pratt-Charlton also had a niece, so we offer our condolences to her.
Okay.
Yeah, I found that out today.
Okay, those are the things, and I just wanted to mention something. Mike, at the first event at when Tonic won, 2004.
And 2005.
Guess what? The first event, I got a call that my father-in-law passed. Got a call. And I was able to, we hook up with, what's the name of the funeral home on Market Street.
Demerit,
yeah. We hooked up with him and we sent it because there was no way they could have gotten in Princess Margaret, you know, to get the information. So we took ourselves home. But, you know, the plan was that Tonic was going to be, we were going to celebrate our anniversary with Tonic. Mm-hmm. So we had no problem going back. And when we got into Miami a little later, and then the next day
you
we went.
That.
And then we were able to watch it. That was really something else.
But you're speaking of milestones, though, just to segue a little bit, right? A significant milestone that I didn't hear you mention. Today, starting today, there's a big celebration with Michael Conley's world record.
Oh, yeah?
In the long jump.
Okay.
Remember, 30 years, 895. That duel between he and Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
When Carl Lewis jumped 891, it was a little windy.
Yeah. Not Mike Conley, yes.
Mike Conley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a little windy. This 30 years ago. And
yeah.
And then Michael came behind and jumped 895, yeah. Which was windy.
Is it 89? I mean, is it 30 years?
30 years.
Well, yeah.
30 years. 30 years ago. So I'm just saying, and I raise it because, again, here it is. NACAC athletes mm-hmm. on the world stage. And so 30 years ago, the world record was set. You know, we thought that Bob Beamon was insurmountable,
yeah.
You know, which was in 68 Olympics. Mm-hmm. So that's just by the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So just wrap it up and give your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I will continue to promote NACAC to the best of my ability. Continue to try and sensitize the general area association members, and in particular the Bahamas, because again, I too still do not feel that there's an appreciation of the significance of the office and the area office being
ain't no big thing
in the located in the Bahamas.
Gotta be a big thing.
You know, at the end of the day, I knew what I was getting into, and so you know, I will continue focusing on what I was elected to do. And every forum I have, I will say it, and I will continue to say it, okay? It is not a highfalutin salaried position, as many people like to think. Yes, I get the benefit of the travel on my function, okay? But I do not get a salary for what I do. I'm not complaining, because knowing what I was getting into, I accepted it for the passion that I have for the sport. And as long as I have the support, first and foremost, my family, which I do and appreciate, and then the member federations. I will continue to serve as long as I am physically and mentally able to do so, and as long as they would have me. So this is not about me. This is about the passion of what I do, and I enjoy doing.
You didn't take your bride with you, eh?
Why are you getting in my
house? Mike.
No, COVID, no. Wait. Yeah. Listen to me. I am fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
And I encourage everyone to do so, right? But I'm still also taking the necessary precaution, because
indeed,
it's only we as individuals that can fight this pandemic and bring it to some level of control and normalcy.
I'm saying it for a different reason. There's a friend of ours who lives in Puerto Rico. And his wife went with him to the Olympics. And she is wondering, why can't she have more time? But his business is doing the body's business.
But, Rock, you know that more than anybody else, right?
Yes.
At the end of the day, people always believe it's a fun trip.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of free time every now and then to enjoy
dinners
the sights
and all
and the
of
sounds
that. Yes,
of the city.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, the COVID environment, there's been no real fun.
Yeah.
It's been all business. You
yes.
know, you get to the airport, they pick you up, they take you to the hotel, they accredit you, you just get into the hotel. Like I said, we had dinner and they come to you and they tell you, you can only place your last call at 8 o'clock because they're closing the restaurant in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So I carried my two bottles of wine with me because you couldn't even go buy it.
Yeah.
And I took it to my room and I had wine by myself.
Okay.
That's it.
For 2 weeks, you know.
Well, Arlington, I'm not talking about the one that we know. So, Ali, thank you ever so much. And we look forward to being here next week. Not necessarily Mike, because we can't wear him out, you know. But I trust that everybody enjoyed the show. Thank you so much to people who are on the road listening. Thank you ever so much. And I thank you all for being here.
Of course, Alfie. Thank you for always having us. Okay. And definitely, I want to say a special thank you to all of our athletes for this season. We had a great season.
I think a very long one.
The athletes, the coaches, the supporters, who all of the stakeholders in the B3As through Mr. Sands, Mike Nakak, and everybody that played a role in making this track season a grand, great one. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We definitely enjoyed this great season.
And despite all the challenges, we made it happen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you.